Bid you welcome to our evening gospel service. We're going to commence our service tonight by singing together the words of the lovely hymn, Sing the Wondrous Love of Jesus, Sing His Mercy and His Grace, in the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. Let's stand together. This will be our opening hymn, and let's sing our very best, please. Unite our hearts together in prayer and seek the Lord's face in prayer. I'm going to ask one of our elders, Brother John McCauley, if he'll come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer, please. Brother John.
Let us pray. O God, our loving and eternal Heavenly Father, we come before Thee tonight at the very commencement of this gospel meeting. Lord, we realize even the solemnity even of this hour. Lord, we just pray that You will speak to those tonight that are unsaved and are gathered. Lord, we just thank You for that time whenever You saved us. For the many that are in this gathering that are saved tonight, washed in Thy precious blood, there was a time whenever we were far away from Thee, were at enmity with Thee, but just thank You have been brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we know that we're ready and we're fit for heaven and we're ready for home. And we want to give Thee all the praise and honour and the glory. We see many that are still on the broad road tonight, many, and we just say, what for the grace of God go I. And Lord, we just pray for those tonight at our own saving our meeting, those who maybe have been attending and hear Thy word night by night, they go out those doors rejecting Thee. We just pray, Lord, that tonight, as Thy servant preaches forth the glorious gospel, that tonight You'll take a dealing with them. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that Thy word will be direct to their hearts, that You'll open their ears and open their hearts. Take away even that stony heart, that hardened heart, and just pray, Lord, that you'll give them that heart of flesh. Lord, that they'll hear thy word tonight in a way they've never heard it before. And Lord, you'll do a work of grace in their heart. We pray, Lord, that you'll deal with them. And Lord, may this be a night of rejoicing over sinners coming to Christ. Lord, we do not know what is in the morrow. Lord, there's so many things that's happened, even in our own community. Tragedies even in the past days. And Lord, we pray for those families that have been bereaved. But Lord, you'll draw very near unto them and comfort them, we pray. And even speak through these deaths. Lord, that men and women, boys and girls will realise that they are not sure of tomorrow. They do not know what a day may bring forth. That now is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that as thy servant comes tonight to preach, Lord, that he will know thy help. But the Holy Spirit will work through him. Lord, he'll be very conscious even as he stands here that he'll know liberty even in the preaching of the gospel tonight. Even as he sings too. We just pray, Lord, that you'll bless his messages and song. I pray, Lord, that even those messages, Lord, will be used even to speak to the souls of the unsaved tonight. I pray, Lord, for even our own pastor over in London tonight. I pray, Lord, that you bless him there, the ministers there, and even, Lord, that he might have a blessed time even in that congregation. Indeed, ever for tonight, we pray, Lord, for every gathering just like this here, where the gospel has been preached forth, where thy word has been honoured, and where your name has been glorified. We just pray, Lord, that there'll be a work done even tonight for eternity. Just pray, Lord, that you'll just take this meeting, everything that's said and done, Lord, to thy honour, to thy glory. And these things we pray in our Saviour's name. Amen.
Thank you, John. We're going to sing further to God's praise, the words of the hymn, "I Was Sinking Deep in Sin," 203, "Sinking to Rise No More, Overwhelmed by Guilt Within, Mercy I Did Implore." Just before we sing the hymn, I have a set of keys, a Tesco club card, and if someone has that, you're not going too far after the service tonight anyway. So it's here, and we'll get it to you, and hopefully then you'll get home, and you'll be able to get in through the front door. So that's here. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Let's all stand while we sing. sing that third final verse again. Brother,
can you come a wee bit closer? I'm not going to join and sing with you. Come you and play the accordion.
When the waves of sorrow roll, then I'm in distress. Not one of us but has distress. Not one of us but we carry a burden that no one knows anything about. But ever he loves to bless. And he will every fear dispel. Wonders at him tonight they're depending on. Think of these words, and then the chorus, love. Lift at me, and then after that, our brother, we haven't been faithful ministers.
It's good to get the full orchestra going on the Lord's Day evening. And no one but Christ can help. Love lifted me. When Peter stepped out of the boat to walk on the water to the Savior, then he felt the power of the wind and the waves, and he took his eyes off the Savior. But he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, the Lord Jesus Christ reached down and saved them. The Lord's only a prayer away. And for those who seek him, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know the chorus, this old-fashioned gospel hymn, join in and sing it. One day I heard the ancient story He's the one who, when he died on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And one who knew no sin has made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our place.
Bid you welcome in the Saviour's name to our evening gospel service. We trust and pray that you know the Lord's blessing as you've come to fellowship with us here at Hebron. If you're a visitor, we trust and pray that you'll feel welcome here in our congregation and that you'll come back again under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. We bid a special welcome to our preacher today in the person of the Reverend Fred Greenfield and his dear wife Jane. It's lovely to have them with us today. And our brother, we love you dearly in the Lord. It's lovely to have you with us. And Lord willing, later on this year, on the 29th of September, our brother, along with the Reverend McCrae, will be doing a concert for us for the school in the town hall in Ballymoney. So that's something for us to look forward to. Do remember our brother as he continues to minister God's word, even though he is retired. You wouldn't think to look at him. He was retired in age, but he is retired. And has been retired for a few years, but the Lord has been gracious and good to him. Refreshments after the evening service, do stay for time of fellowship. If you can, you'll be made most welcome. There's no talks tomorrow because of the bank holiday. Tuesday, we have the senior fellowship at 11 a.m. Then Wednesday evening is our Hebron Ladies Fellowship, when there will be a special testimony panel, and Kristen will be ministering in song. Ladies, this is a meeting for you. I hear some of our men folk here now starting to say they would like to come because they hear who's taking part and all of that. But this is for the ladies, and so men folk, you have to stay at home and trust and pray the ladies have a good time of fellowship together. Thursday evening is our midweek service, Bible study and time of prayer, and we'll remember the work and witness of our Christian school. Friday is the youth fellowship at 8 p.m. and also for our elders, it's the presbytery in Tucker Valley. There's no open air on Saturday morning in the centre of our town because of the coronation events, and we'll announce when the next open air will be held. Do remember the Lord's Day, next service is next Lord's Day morning. Commence with the prayer meeting in the morning at 8 a.m. We encourage you to come and to seek the throne of grace in prayer. Sunday school is at 10:30, and our Bible class with our brother Phil will be at 10:45. And our brother Phil, as he announced this morning, is going to commence a series on the history of our denomination, and I trust that this will be an encouragement to those who attend the Bible class. And can I say to you, maybe you have thought about coming to the Bible class. Well, here's an opportunity for you to come even next Lord's Day morning and join with our brother Phil as he commences a series. Morning worship service, Lord willing, the Reverend Park will be back to continue the meditations in Mark's Gospel. Do remember the Reverend Park, as him and Mrs. Park in London, over encouraging the little work there in Walthamstow. Then in the afternoon, the Orange Order will be having their service here. Ballymoney District number 16 is coming to have their service, and we're looking forward to having him. And the Reverend Park will preach upon the subject, the coronation of the King. And also in advance, can we thank the brethren of the district for the offering on that occasion will be going to our Christian school. And we want to thank them in anticipation as they come to worship here next Lord's Day afternoon. And can I encourage you to come? Sometimes it's very discouraging when brethren organise an event like this, and they come and they're just themselves. And it would be good to see members of our congregation come and to encourage and support our brother, the Reverend Park, even as he preaches on that occasion. It's a great opportunity to witness to people. Dunloy Accordion Band will be leading that service next Lord's Day afternoon. The family night service at 7 o'clock. When, Lord willing, our brother Alfie Stewart will be along to give a personal word of testimony, and the soloist will be Kirsten McMullen. These cards are available, they're out the hallway. If you can take one, let's not forget, bring one. Let's make an effort to bring others in under the sound of the gospel. There's no point having a church open if all we have is God's people in it. We need to encourage the unsaved to come in under the sound of the word of God. Our brother Alfie will be along to give his testimony. It'll also be the dedication service of Heidi Eve Park, and that will of course be conducted by Heidi's granddad, the Reverend Park, and we look forward to that happy occasion for the Park family. For our ladies and for the men who helped to provide the supper next Sunday evening, it's half a loaf of sandwiches and a dozen buns. Then we have planned in the will of the Lord a baptismal service, which is scheduled for Tuesday the 9th of May. Those wishing to be baptised or wanting to have some more detail in relation to that, if you could see the Reverend Park when he returns, and that would be much appreciated. We're going to have our evening tithe and offering, and while we have the lifting of the offering, do remember also their tithing offering for Christian school today. We're going to sing together the words of the hymn 224, and it asks the question, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Doesn't ask you what religion you are, doesn't ask you what church you go to, doesn't ask you how good you think you are. It asks you, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Think of these words, remaining seated while the evening tithe and offerings are lifted, please. ask our brother Greenfield to come and he'll minister to us in song and then preach.
Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, it cleanseth us from all sin. Once I drifted away from the harbor of life, I sailed for a time on the rough sea. Say once again, it's a joy and pleasure, it's always a privilege to be asked to come and to minister God's precious word. And it's good to be with you once again tonight here in Hebron, and we do thank your minister, the Reverend David Park, and the session for the invitation to be with you today and to have the opportunity to preach God's word. If you have a Bible with you, I invite you please to turn with me please to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and a very familiar portion of God's word in Acts chapter 16. Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16. I'm going to read some verses, commencing at verse 23. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, and commencing to read at verse 23, the word of God says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling
and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 34. May the Lord bless the reading, public reading of his own inspired and his infallible word. Let's just bow together, please, again in a word of prayer, and ask God's blessing upon the ministry of his word. Our Father and our God, we come again to thee in the Saviour's name. We give thee thanks for thy presence already with us. We thank thee, Lord, for the hymns of Zion that we have been singing, for the ministry and song. We thank thee, Lord, for the words of the old-fashioned gospel hymns that the Lord Jesus Christ shed blood washes whiter than snow. And Lord, we thank thee tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save to the very uttermost all them that come unto God by him. And we pray tonight for a real conscious sense of thy presence. The Lord, thou wouldst be with us just now. Shelter us beneath the precious blood of Christ. Touch my lips with a live coal from off the altar. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, I pray. And help us to preach thy word without fear, without favor. And grant that even this very night, as the old gospel hymn says, let the angels carry the tidings upward to the courts of heaven. Let them sing in holy rapture o'er another soul forgiven. Be with us now, Lord, as we continue on in thy presence, for we ask all these things in the Saviour's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. And as we said, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the history of the early church. It's a wonderful book, one of my favorite books of the Bible. There was one commentator, when he wrote a book about the book of the Acts of the Apostles, he called it Marching Off the Map. And he took that verse that they would begin in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the world. And another commentator, he called his book The Flame of Fire, the spreading flame of how the early church after Pentecost, it spread like a flame, like a mighty forest fire right across. And many precious souls were saved in Jerusalem. And then you remember later on the testimony was of the people, even from outside. They said, these men that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. And of course, in this 16th chapter, it's a wonderful story about great times of conversion and precious souls coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Paul and Silas at first were forbidden to go, and then the Holy Spirit opened up the way for them and brought them to Philippi, to the chief part of the region of Macedonia. When they came there, they went to a prayer meeting on the Sabbath day. Down in verse 13 there it says of the book of the Acts, on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which was ordered thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when they went into Philippi, and they preached the word of God at that prayer meeting down by the riverside. Here's a businesswoman of great repute and reputation. And she has come. She is a God-fearing woman. But the Bible says, whose heart the Lord opened. A woman with an open heart. Somebody once said, she opened her ears to hear the word of God. and God opened her heart, and she received Christ as her own and personal Savior. Later on, as they were in that city, verse 16 reminds us, it came to pass as we went to prayer, the Bible says, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which besought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And this young woman who was demon-possessed and who was used by unscrupulous men to tell people's fortunes and to predict the future. And she followed Paul and Silas. And she cried out and she said in verse 17, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. I don't know whether she was appeared to be sincere as she cried those words. Did she cry out loud as she said them? Or did she say them with such an element of cynicism and sarcasm to say, these men, these two fellas, look at them. These are the servants of the Most High God. But whatever she said them, these are the servants of the Most High God which show unto us the way of salvation. She did this for many days. And then the Apostle Paul grieved in his spirit. He said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Lydia was a woman with an open heart, and she received the gospel. Here's a young woman, we would say, with an oppressed heart, oppressed by sin and Satan. Thank God she was saved, delivered by the mighty power of God in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, brought from darkness to light and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. And then we read the story of the man we call the Philippian jailer. And if Lydia had an open heart and this young woman had an oppressed heart, here's a man with an obstinate heart. Here's a hard man. Here's a man who, when he was commanded to put Paul and Silas into the prison, he put them in the innermost prison, made sure their feet were held fast in the stocks. He wanted to make sure they would not escape. But at midnight, you know the story, Paul and Silas prayed. They sang praises unto God, and God shook the prison house with an earthquake, and everyone's bands were loosed, and all the doors were opened. The late Pastor Ivan Thompson, man of God, he said, the jailhouse rocked, and Presley hadn't even been born. That was his take on it. God heard the cries of his servants, and he reached down his hand, and he shook the prison with an earthquake. So much so that the jailer, this strong man, this obstinate man, he was going to take his own life rather than have it taken from him. But Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he said, what must I do to be saved? Verse 30. Verse 31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And just for a moment or two, in closing, I want to think with you about the need of salvation, about being saved, about becoming a Christian, about following the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul preached before King Agrippa and gave King Agrippa his testimony how he was saved, you remember the words of Agrippa in Acts 26 and verse 28, he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And yet that heathen Agrippa, that man who perhaps thought he had all power, he was almost persuaded to be a Christian. And we meet with people all the time in our day
in our generation, and they see no need to be saved. They have their own worldview. They have their own philosophy. They have their own ideology. And God does not center at all in their thoughts or their reckoning. Heaven and hell to them are figments of man's imagination. And they do not see the need to be saved. But as we have read those verses together tonight from Acts chapter 16, and we've thought about Lydia and that young slave girl and the Philippian jailer, we realize that salvation is for all. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And it doesn't matter whether we are a prince or a pauper. Doesn't matter whether we're Protestant or Roman Catholic, Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, educated or illiterate, men and women need to be saved. Mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, sons, daughters, sisters, brothers, boys and girls need to be saved. And there are some reasons why people need to be saved. Let me put it to you, first of all, because of what I might call the plain statements of Scripture. Many are looking forward to the great celebration of the coronation of King Charles. Many can look back and talk about the coronation of the late Queen Elizabeth. And for the first time it was televised. And people sat for hours and watched the whole ceremony. And during that ceremony, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth was presented by the Archbishop of Canterbury with a copy of the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. And she was told that this book is the royal law. This is the law, the word of God. And beloved, so it is. We appeal to the authority of the word of God. This book that we have, in our own language, we can read for ourselves. My, it is a regal book. It's the law of God, the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's a reliable book. Down through history, many have made statements about this world and its origin and what it is like. People said that the earth was flat, and if you sail too far across the sea, you would sail off the edge. But when people were propounding those theories and notions, Job, which is one of the oldest books in the Bible, reminds us that God hangeth the earth upon nothing. Isaiah the prophet reminds us also that God sitteth upon the circle of the earth. When men looked, first of all, with the naked eye, looked at the stars and the heavens, later on with telescopes, and at one stage they thought they could number all the stars, and then they realized they are without number. Yet the Bible says they are without number, but yet God knows every one of them by name. This world sits in space. It is round. He sits upon the circle of the earth. And this book is the royal book. It's the reliable book. But you know, it's a relevant book. Relevant for those who preached the word of God, those apostles who took the Old Testament scriptures, gave their testimony of how they had witnessed the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and his power. Later on, the mighty men of God who came, one after another, and the reformers and revivalists, and preached this book, this canon of scripture that we have. They find it to be relevant, for the Bible says there in Isaiah 45 and 22, God says, look unto me and be ye saved. God says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, men and women. Doesn't matter about your color or your race or your creed or your status. We need to be saved. And we need to be saved because of the plain statements of Holy Scripture. And then we need to be saved, secondly, because of the problem and the seriousness of sin. I've often quoted that little chorus that we sang with the boys and girls. S-I-N is a very little word, but it always spells disaster, and you must leave it very much alone, or it will become your master. The Bible reminds us that we were born in sin, and we were shapen in iniquity. The Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are sinners by birth, by nature, by practice. And way back there in the Old Testament scriptures, in the book of Numbers, chapter 32 and verse 23. You remember these words, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. And the Word of God reminds us that sin is something which is personal. For the Scripture says, ye have sinned. And it goes on to say, your sin will find you out. We may be religious, we may be good living, we may see ourselves as upright, as good citizens, as good neighbors, never done anyone any harm, all these things that we hear people say, but the Bible says we were born in sin. We are estranged from God. We are without God, without Christ, without hope in this world. And the Bible says, personally, we are sinners. Something personal. How many times have we heard preachers say, and rightly so, that there's not one of us in any congregation, from the preacher in the pulpit to the men and women in the pew, not one of us would like our sins of thought and of word and of deed to be put up on the screen for all to see, for our nearest and dearest to see, for our neighbors to see, for the world to see. My, we would run and hide in shame. But sin is personal. And the Bible reminds us here in the book of Numbers that sin is not only personal, but sin, it is accountable. We have to give an account for our sin. Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. When Paul preached to the Stoics and the Epicureans and the philosophers and the great men of his day at Mars Hill, Paul said, God hath appointed a day, Acts 17 and 31, in the which he will judge the world by righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead. And when we think of the problem of sin and the seriousness of sin in the heart and life, and that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? We realize we must be saved. There was a story told of a a young man who was a reporter for a newspaper, and as he was serving his time, as it were, an apprentice and learning the ins and outs of his profession, there came a day when he was sent to cover not just the ordinary things that were happening, and days he had to go to the court, but he was sent to a murder trial. And he was very shaken by the whole affair. He realized that there's a man in the dock, and that man was found guilty by the jury. And so the judge had to pronounce on that man the sentence of death. And this young man, who had never witnessed anything like this before in his life, he thought about how the prisoner stood in the dock, colour drained from his face. And he says, all you could hear in that muffled silence was the clock ticking on the wall. And here's a man under the sentence of death, and someday soon that sentence will be carried out. Friend, if you live your life in this world and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this a judgment. And you're like a condemned man or a condemned woman, just waiting for that day when you'll be taken from time out into eternity, when that sentence will be carried out. You'll be lost, without hope, because of the plain statements of the scriptures. You need to be saved. Because of the problem of the seriousness of sin, you need to be saved. You need, as we were singing tonight, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Has the blood of the Lamb washed your sins whiter than snow? Those sins that are red like crimson, are they whiter than wool? Then you'll notice, because of the passion and the sacrifice of the Savior, you need to be saved. We watched each night our brother David Castles, Dr. David Castles, as he preached at your Bible conference. Wonderful messages about the cross work, the glory of our Savior and his dying love upon Calvary. And when you think about what he did for you and for me, sacrifice, one who made one sacrifice for sins forever, then to sit down at the right hand of God. Sure, we think about that voluntary sacrifice. In Philippians 2 there, you remember how it says in verse 6, who being in the form of God, that is the Lord Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Voluntarily, our Savior came into this world. Born at Bethlehem of Judea, lived in obscurity, lived a perfect, sinless, faultless, crimeless, holy life. And then on that old rugged cross, voluntarily laid down his life and poured out his soul unto death. When all we like sheep had gone astray, when we had turned every one to his own way, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that voluntary sacrifice was a vicarious sacrifice. And he was dying there in our room and in our place. And he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And the one who knew no sin was made sin for us. And thank God, the Bible says there in Philippians 2,
it says, when he made this sacrifice unto the, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. And you heard all about it. For a week, night after night after night, the preaching of the cross to many, foolishness. But to us who are saved, power of God. Why did they nail him to Calvary's tree? Why, tell me, why was he there? Jesus, the Savior, the healer, the friend. Why, tell me, why was he there? And the hymn writer says it in the chorus. All our iniquities on him were laid. And he bore them all to the tree. And Jesus, the debt of our sins fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. Oh, as we're singing that hymn this morning, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. Krishna's dead. But Jesus Christ laid down his life. And on the third day he took it up again. And he rose triumphant over sin and death and hell and the grave. And he lives in the power of an endless life. And when we think of the sacrifice of our Savior, and we think that God so loved the world and so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You need to be saved. Let me close because time is gone. But because of the perverse subtlety of Satan, you need to be saved. Satan is a diabolical taskmaster. Brings men and women down that road to eternal destruction. Whether he appears as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, or whether he appears as an angel of light, and people follow, as it were, his way. He does his evil work. He's like that one of whom the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in the parable that would come and sow the tares among the wheat and come and snatch away the word of God. But it's his evil work and his evil whisper that concerns us tonight. Men and women know they need to be saved. Men and women realize they must be saved ere they go out into God's eternity. But the old devil always tells them, not now, not now. You've got plenty of time. You don't need to be saved now. Just live your life. Do what you want to do. Fulfill your ambitions. Go your own way. Do your own thing. Enjoy the pleasures that this world can give. And then someday, before you die, you get right with God. Plenty of time. Someday. Some way. Not now, but somehow. Men and women think they'll have time to be saved. But the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. And you must come to Christ. And you must come now. This is another gospel meeting coming to a close. Another opportunity given to men and women to come to the Savior, to have their sins dealt with and put away once and for all, to experience, to have eternal life. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Friend, will you come? The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. As we're singing that hymn earlier on, his hand is gently knocking on your door. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me. Friend, will you invite him into your life?
as your Savior this night. May God bless his word to our hearts. I'm going to call upon our brother Mervyn to come and bring our meeting to a close.
Our closing hymn says these words: O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. We'll just sing the first two verses of this hymn. Think about the chorus. O turn when the Savior in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbour light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the dead line tonight? A lot of people who have passed away just in recent days. Accidents, tragedies. What if that was you? Think about these words. The first two verses of the hymn. We'll just remain seated while we sing, and let's just think about these words as we sing them, please. Father, we thank thee for the gospel message that has been plainly preached. We thank thee for thy servant. We pray that thou will continue to bless him. And our loving Father, we pray for those who know not the Savior in this service. We pray that tonight will not be the night when they will cross that deadline. But that, oh, tonight in love they will come, they will receive the mercy that is offered in Christ. And that this will be the very night when they will call upon thee for salvation. We pray, our loving Father, that the solemnity of these moments will last as we leave the house of God, ever remembering that there is but a step between us and death. And may none leave this service tonight. Or those who are even listening in, we pray that none will close their eyes tonight in their bed without having settled the question of the eternal destiny of their soul. Separate us in thy fear. Separate us in thy favour. For we ask these things in the Saviour's precious and lovely name. Amen.